You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. Wealth and investment feature.
Well, as we were just discussing with Murray Gunn and Wayne McCurry, markets around the world are bouncing. Have we hit the bottom? Are we just on the first wave of a three-wave cycle down to an even lower bottom, a la 1929? You've got headlines like Jesus died for our sins, Grandma died for the Dow over in the US, as we've got US President Donald Trump wanting to reopen the economy at all costs, despite the threat of COVID-19. And all of it leaves investors, you and I, feeling a little bit perplexed. I've got Peter Armitage, CEO and co-CEO of Anchor Capital, who's seen his fair share of cycles in your time. Peter, welcome. The trillion rand question, is it time to buy equities just yet?
Michael, if we all knew that, we could all get very rich. But I think it is an opportunity to get rich. But as you know, for people who've been around a long time in investing markets, it's been for a long time. Can still get, but as you know, we get obsessed with looking at things from an index point of view. You know, I prefer to look at individual companies. So I think like a great one to look at is something like Nike offshore. So the share is $105, which was fairly expensive, but the company's done incredibly well. And I'm pretty confident that in 12 to 24 months, Nike will be back to where it was 2 or 3 months ago. You can now, 2 days ago, you could buy it at $60. It's now up to $65. And if you slowly and patiently accumulate great quality businesses like that, we think over a new time period, 8, 12, 24 months, you can make fantastic returns out of the market. But you've got to buy in the knowledge that in the very short term, anything can happen. The headlines are obviously drastic. The key thing that we're looking at is new infections in specific countries. So you had a pattern with China where after about 3 or 4 weeks, it started leveling off and coming down, and they controlled it. So we're checking to see if that's going to happen in the countries that are more advanced, so the Italy, then Spain, France, US. But even if the cases, the new cases, are starting to decline, the number of cases and the deaths will continue to increase and create a horrific headline. But this isn't so much a financial crisis initially as a behavioral crisis. It's how people are reacting to it, and it's the extent to which that becomes a financial crisis. So banks are a much better shot going into this. But, you know, if a lot of companies, turnover's down and companies are in trouble, it becomes a banking problem.
Well, markets are lovely that way. They're irrational. They create panic and fear and greed and the psychology of it, which creates opportunity. And that's what makes building portfolios and picking good companies particularly successful. As you said earlier, difficult to go an index route at a time like this. One really has to evaluate what's a good opportunity versus a value trap versus a landmine potentially with a balance sheet about to detonate a financial explosion. How do you go about doing that, Peter?
Well, we've obviously been working on the clock with all of our analysts looking at these things, and it's kind of, as you said, it's creating some filters. I mean, particularly with the kind of ETF and passive markets out there, when people are selling out, these ETFs are selling all shares. They're not differentiating between good and bad, and that creates a nice opportunity. So we put a few filters through. There's no rhyme or reason to take any kind of balance sheet risk. Above a certain level, you can push it out. Then we have a subjective filter of businesses that could be permanently damaged or make massive losses at a time like this. You filter those out. You then put our normal quality filters in, and you quickly get down to internationally, there's kind of 100 shares that we've spent a bit of time on, and you get down to 10 or 20 shares which really stand out.
What are some of those that are standing out for you? You've mentioned one, Nike. What else?
Yeah, so Nike, we just bought into Strico, which is a UK healthcare business, which, you know, it's knees and hip replacements. If you've got a dodgy knee, you might delay it by 6 months, but you're still going to need it. Locally, we're buying into things like MTN. We like Bidcorp. We think it's a great quality business, and, you know, the restaurant industry will come back. They're supplying to that. So those are 3 or 4 of great quality business. MTN, we don't think is a fantastic business, but it went up to 220 rand. It's now trading in the 30s.
Yeah.
And as you all have experienced, data usage and cell phone usage is going up and up.
And I mean, you look at the South African operation alone, must be more than 30 Rand, surely.
Yeah, we've had, it's been double pounded by Nigeria. Obviously, the oil price will have a negative impact on the conversion of those profits. But we value the South African business at 60 Rand. So, you know, you can put no value on Nigeria if you'd like to. So, you know, there's just absurd valuations around. And with a level head and a bit of a stomach for volatility, you can make some money.
And if you're willing to take perhaps a little more risk for a little more return, which are the shares of companies with higher levels of, shall we say, operational balance sheet risk, but able to at least handle this period of disruption, provided we don't stay in lockdown for 2 years or more? In which case, well, I don't think anyone will be around.
Yeah, I mean, there's one small one that we haven't nibbled on yet, but I think it looks absurd, which is Alviva, the old Pinnacle. They made 450 million rand profit last year after tax, and the market capitalization isn't much more than that. So it's kind of a 1P multiple. The profits, no doubt, will come down this year, but ironically, they're having some good times at the moment because laptop orders are going through the roof. Everybody sends all their employees home. The property companies, we aren't on our kind of core quality list. They've got the whole property market is in absolute turmoil. But in turmoil, prices go down more than we think is justified. So something like a Growthpoint, which if they kept last year's dividends, you'd get a 23% dividend yield from it. They probably will cut that, and property companies might well not pay a dividend for next year, you know, to preserve cash. But it's the values that just got to levels that, you're underpinned by physical property. Lots of challenges in that market. We've been chatting to a lot of the property company CEOs, and they really don't know what's coming next. But, a lot of the property shares are down 50, 60, 70%.
Yeah, one has to assume that no one will ever return to normal after this COVID-19 outbreak to be that bearish on the property companies. I know there is going to be a big shift in the way we perhaps work from home and do other things, but I certainly don't see us not returning to some degree of normalcy post the coronavirus outbreak. Peter Armitage, CEO and co-CIO of Anchor, with some of his picks that are just too good to resist at this time, with the market falling as much as it has.